looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and happy November 11th to everyone in those moments of reflecting and honoring those, just anybody and everyone in our lives. You know, today is such a fun show to have today specifically. It's very light and lighthearted, and just more so about how we go about growing and learning in life. And as always, Light on Living exists for the very reason to give you reasons to feel better. And no matter where you are, what state you're in, there's always a little bit of a better place to be, to become, to choose, to get to. And today, I'm so honored to be welcoming award-winning children's author, Jennifer Ranieris, and she's the we just said that she's the winning children's author award, the creator of Nature Nurtures storybook series, and just her appreciation and love for aha moments in life has inspired her to write children's stories that celebrate growth and enlightenment. And whether she's on her farm, at home, or exploring nature, teachable moments find their way to her. So young and old, teachable moments help us to thrive and flourish, whether they come from our children, our parents, friends, and even our pets. I like that one. Nature is proof that magic surrounds us. Oh, Jennifer, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh, I just, you know, that, well, what a profound statement right there in that little bio there. But nature is proof that magic surrounds us, because you use nature in your storybooks. The two that I have, there's so much nature in there. I'll share the titles. Let's talk about Hawkeyes first, which you received the Mom's Choice Award for. That's first of all, Hawkeyes, two words, Hawkeyes. Tell us a little bit about the lesson behind that.
Well, the lesson is, the message is perspective, and being able to choose to look at any situation from a different point of view, a bigger picture, that can change what we see and that can change how we feel. So it's empowering us with the choice to use perspective to affect how we feel. And I use the hawk symbolism because a hawk can see from up high a bigger picture.
The bigger picture, and that's, you know, I think when we're all little, we always think, we look up in the sky and we see the birds and we think, gosh, if we could, first of all, we're excited if we think we could just fly, but there's a whole new advantage point to that. You're really seeing from such a distance. Did you choose to write the story because of the perspective? Like, did you know that was what that was going to be about when you first started writing it?
Yes, I was going through my own personal challenges, and I was actually journaling about an unsavory situation, and a hawk swooped into my yard, and I thought that was the, you know, it caught my attention. I might as well have been flicked in the forehead by my divine, you know, spirit, garden angel, what you'd like to call, you know, your guidance. And so I looked up hawk symbolism, and it was perspective, and it just was the biggest aha moment. It related exactly to what I was journaling about, looking at a bigger picture, remembering why you're doing something. So I made a little note in my journal that would be effective if I could relate it to children, translate into something they could understand. And then it was a little bit later on, I challenged myself to do something creative and to start writing.
So this was your first ever book. You know, I love how you took the fact that there's lessons in things. First of all, the fact that you yourself were experiencing a moment, you know, situation in your life, you said you didn't feel so great about it, and you thought, that's actually a big step right there. Who taught you to journal your feelings out, or just for what purpose you were journaling?
So Okay, so if you want to go to the beginning,
I was, yes.
I had a rough point in life, you want to say a low point, and it was about as bad as you could get. Unhealthy, suicidal, chronic pain, debilitating anxiety and panic attacks, and I needed to pay attention to myself. I needed some self-care, some self-love. So I started first with my and you look at synchronicities, like how things line up. So my family doctor from when I was in high school had turned to a more holistic approach of care. So I went to see her. She was also a chiropractor. I went to see her, and she opened my mind to energy work and to self-care. And then from there, asking for something, you know, better, paying attention to myself, what I'm feeling, and focusing on more like a life of appreciation and gratitude led me to another dear friend sent an email out of the blue saying she was starting wellness classes. And she is just a wonderful intuitive and teacher. And she's actually Aunt B in my book. Her name is Beth Perogic. And she's just fabulous. So she's amazing. So she started encouraging me to journal and to meditate, which I'm not that great at. I don't last very long, but I find it very effective for the 5 to 15 minutes I can do it.
That's
but
good,
yeah, the
actually.
Journaling, is it? I don't know.
Yes.
The journaling and the animal symbolism came from her. Also, you know, learning to take care of myself and what to focus on. So that was all via her direction. And yeah, you know, her sending an email that we're doing classes, or she's thinking of doing classes if anyone's interested. So it was all just these baby steps into me paying attention to myself, what I was asking for, and learning to be just so appreciative and grateful for every little thing, like water. Like, honestly, I would just do appreciation rants at any time. I still do now that I feel less than, you know, optimal. And even when I am, actually, I'm still always in a just a well of appreciation.
Oh, I love what you said about appreciation for water, and then you said a well of appreciation, but you know, the water analogy. Well, the neat thing about your books is I really enjoyed reading them. I read to my cats. Actually, I think it's really fun to read out loud and pay attention as you're reading things.
I love that. And
I love that one of your characters' name is Lulu, and my little kitty girl's is Lucy, and I call her Lulu, so she thought that was fun. But as what I find so interesting is that it's ageless. I found so much joy to be able to step away from the world and all the stuff that's so judgmenty and maybe painful around the world, and to read your books, because it is for ages. But you involve two things here that anybody can do at any age. Well, in a way, journaling. I mean, yes, you want to be able to write, you know, but, you know, being mindful of what your feelings are and expressing them in a way, and the animal symbolism. Everybody loves some kind of animal. You know, babies are, you know, their eyes are drawn to them. Children just love to play with them, or even nature, any kind of nature. Now, you use animal symbolism, but you also talk about, which I would love for you to share, with the series, the Nature Nurtures Storytime series. Is that something that started ahead of time, or as you started writing your second book, did that become?
Right. After I did the first one, and I realized like I was having so much fun with it, and there's so many animals and things in nature we can learn, I decided to do that because I wanted an umbrella kind of, you know, to embody the series. So that came just after the first book was written.
Yeah, you want to give it a home because you realized that it was going to become more, you know, so that
I didn't know what it would feel like.
Right. Yes. And the second book title is A Buck and a Puck. And so, that was so much fun reading that, actually. And we're going to go into the lessons that each one offer, but I do want to just stay on this thing about, I am so appreciative and grateful for my parents teaching me these lessons, life lessons, whether they came from books or stories when I was young, because they do play a role in our lives. Have you been finding that we have grown away from using lessons and stories as the, you know, the decades of life have gone by? In that, like, do you know what I'm asking? See, do you feel that we've come away from that quality time of reading stories and having lessons in them in positive books?
Well, my children are a little older, so I don't read to them anymore. I did read to them right through to when they were in grade school, older grade school, because we would read the Harry Potter books together. So it was always something we did together. Anyone I know with small children, they do read to them, and I read to my nieces and nephews. So I hope not. I love, you know, we grew up. There were so many old wives' tales, and then there were stories related to old wives' tales. So you kind of always had a little bit of even if it was entertaining, something fun to, why did grandma say, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to come up with one off the top of my head, but
That's
you know,
okay.
those were stories too that were passed down. So I hope we haven't come away from it. It's been really neat being in the children's author world and seeing so many creative children's authors and creative stories. So I'm going to say I feel optimistic about what's available for our children.
I love that optimism. And I, you know, it's funny, if anybody ever just takes that moment, drive to a bookstore and go in it and just wander around in the children's area. Like, it's, first of all, it's colorful. It's like it just brightens, it's attractive, it draws you in, and it's full of imagination. Do you get inspiration? Because you're doing book launches and book signings and everything. Are you feeling the inspiration just overwhelm you kind of thing?
It is overwhelming, and it's a different world because I'm used to working alone at home, not in a group with lots of people around. But I love it. I love Indigo. I know that's like the Barnes and Nobles in the States, and you go there and they just, oh my gosh, they have so many amazing things. And I find when I do book events, I notice that there are families there for hours. They're spending the day there doing things and activities, and they have, so I do, oh, I love it.
I love that you said that. That's just a great reminder. Like, a lot of times we think, oh, what is it to do today? It's snowing out, or it's cold out, or it's too hot out, and or things cost too much money. You know, movies are rather expensive. But you know, you can always go like to the library or to you know, Indigo, or like you said, Barnes and Noble in the U.S. there, and just there's activities to do, and I think that really creates a bond and a memory for anybody's going, aunts and uncles, you know, things like that. When it comes to the when they say you're award-winning children's author, can you share that? What does it mean to have received the Mom's Choice Award?
It's definitely reinforcement that I'm on the right track, and that was important, especially not being you know, in the literary world, not being, it was never my focus or my goal to do a children's book. So getting positive feedback is just, it helps me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Letting you know you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Does that does somebody nominate you? How does that award come about?
Mom's Choice, you apply online and they recognize the best in family friendly media. So that's how that right, that acknowledgement came to be.
Okay, that's
I love the
fabulous.
internet. There's so much on there.
Yes, oh, isn't there? And also too for Goodreads. And I'm really stressing these awards or acknowledgments your way, because I know even just for myself, when I had so much fun reading. The illustration is just so beautiful. Like, it really is full of imagination. You look at it and you can, you know, picture yourself in there. Where would I be? And oh, you know, I'm feeling this way too. Or you know, there's it's really the illustration was done beautifully.
Yes, Bonnie Lemaire did the illustrations. She's from Central Ontario.
Oh,
She did
okay.
a great job.
Oh, it's fun when you have all these colors. I think that it's important to have the color and stuff. As we go through, so I want to talk about the lesson specifically in each one. And with let's do like the we talked about the perspective and Hawkeyes, and the switch around. I'm gonna go backwards on this one. What would it look like if you had to envision the an opposite world for poor Lulu there, and she didn't have a perception switch? What happens when we get stuck and we can't switch? our perspective, like get a bigger perspective on things. What's the negative side of that?
Well, I think we sometimes spin ourselves into thinking something that bigger than it is or more negative than it is. And it makes us sad or stressed. Actually, stress is very unhealthy. And even for children, if she's just sitting there worrying about her mom being away, you know, and not understanding. I think it's negative. And to be able to, you know how good an aha moment feels? Like it's just like, oh, I get it.
Yes.
If we can encourage children to even have a choice, it's so empowering. Like, you know, you have a choice. Feel like the more choice we have, the more freedom we have. So giving mm-hmm. that to them, so without it, you're taking away that. And maybe, you know, maybe Lulu would have got distracted by her dog and found something else to focus on. But, you know, maybe she wouldn't.
Actually, that is absolutely perfect. I love that you said the more choices we all have, there's more freedom to it. And that comes through understanding that we have these choices and there's more to look at. As you know, when we come back after the first commercial break here, I really want to talk about just that freedom from how many choices we have and how can we help give our children multiple, many choices, but still staying in that role of leadership, guide, you know, nurturer, making sure they're safe as we present so many choices to them and not, you know, give them too much rain where they don't know yet how to choose. So when we come back, everybody, we are going to join award-winning author Jennifer here as we continue talking about the beautiful aspects of choice and perspective and strength.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
We have all read about or heard about becoming more spiritual, about working with our energy, the awakening, the shift, about being our authentic selves, living our purpose, reaching our true potential. The challenge doesn't lie in the knowledge, it lies in the execution. The struggle becomes connecting to that limitless self-healing part that each one of us has and gaining control of who we truly are. Hi, I'm Dr. Reverend Aisha Hogan, and you are invited to join me on a master's practice on Om Times. Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. I have award-winning author, Jennifer Veneris here with me. And we're talking about her two books, Hawk Eyes and A Buck and a Puck. And Jennifer, I was just looking at on the back of Hawk Eyes, there's this one little statement. It says, Lulu is about to have an incredible day. She just doesn't know it yet. That is so cool to me. When I read that, I was like, oh, I just love that. Because if we hold the belief that if just to stay in that belief that it could be better, that there's a possibility of it getting better. Is that what you were trying to leave us with when with that statement there?
Yes, I did have to learn to have faith and to trust in my purpose and that I was going to be okay no matter what happened. And I think that is, if we can, you know, it relieves a lot of stress because you know that that it's really out of, certain things are out of your hands, and that yes, it's not that you can handle it because you have to be strong. It's you can handle it because this is where you're supposed to be and this is your path. Mm. It's a lot for a little one to take in, but they learn, you know, we all learn in baby steps through experience, right?
Yes. Actually, that's an interesting thing. So before we went to commercial, I was just thinking, like, yes, we want to, as adults, as parents, as nurturers, how we want to be able to teach our children that they have choice. How, like what you just said there, it's a lot for a little one to understand. How do we know how many choices to present to children so that they can catch up with it, you know, like be where they, the best place that they can be?
I believe strongly, like spending time with your kids and having things unfold is the best way to learn any lesson. Things come to you naturally. It's just telling it with anyone. If I just sat here and said to you, oh, if this happens, do this, and if this happens, do this, it's not going to sink in or even resonate. Sometimes we really have to feel something for it to matter and to make a difference, and learning mistakes. Learning from mistakes is one of the best ways to have something sink in and to get the message across. So just life happens, life lessons, and you keep going.
Yeah, so true. It's funny. I remember thinking back, of course, so many things that I'm glad I had the strong, healthy relationship, loving relationship with my parents, but they would go through something. Let's say I was growing up, and it would be like 20 years later, I remember calling my mom and going, oh my gosh, I get it. I'm going through something that you were going through. And I thought she was being such, you know, drama queen maybe back in the day. And then I'm like, oh, I'm feeling this now. So I always picked up the phone to call her, and it would say, gosh, I get it now. You were right. I love telling her that. Actually, speaking of that kind of thing, as they unfold and as they come and you are where you are should be, to me, I feel like, you know, we often measure things, but I got a ruler in my book and I loved it. And I was like, I have to ask, why a ruler? What was that? Where'd that choice come from?
I just thought it was cute. It was an option for the book. It was a bookmark option. And I thought it was cute. So,
yes.
So that's kind of funny that I just said, yeah, measuring.
I love it. So is it in every book?
No, because if they go from the printer, I have those. So I sent that to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, you know what? How fun. This is funny. I was just talking about rulers this morning because we were having our first snowfall. And of course, some people know centimeters, some people know inches. And I was having this big thing and I was like, no, I remember, you know, I know that 33 centimeters is 12 inches because that's a ruler, you know. And then I was thinking, oh, it's so funny. So it's almost like a toy. Like a ruler can be a toy that we can learn things and put them in perspective. We can measure and compare. And so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's thank you for sharing that, because that's a nice way for me to look at it as well.
Yes, and it is colorful too. Now, I want to deal with Lulu, sorry, now I'm going to call her my cat's name. With Lulu, as she's going by, I want to share with the readers, because I don't want to spoil the book for anybody, but it is a really a common lesson that children do have to go through, is that, you know, whether it's about, you know, a little girl who, as you said, is missing her mom because she had to go away to work. And that's a tough one for children to get this perspective of what time is and what we choose to do in our time, whether we're going to sulk and be upset, whether we're going to be throw a temper tantrum, or whether we're going to actually go, okay, well, if I actually keep busy, maybe your time will fly. Yes, please go ahead.
No, I wanted to acknowledge that her dad is acknowledging that she's upset. He's not just, you know, get over it and let's do something else. He is acknowledging her feelings and giving her options to work through it.
Oh.
Like, you do have a choice. And so, yeah, it wasn't just, you know, when we were kids, if you don't stop crying, you're going to get something to cry about. It was a different mentality back then. Which, and that's fine. Our parents were coming from what they knew, and they did their best. I had a lovely childhood. I'm not complaining at all. So, but I wanted to make sure that I did acknowledge her feelings in that moment.
Yes, that's actually a very important part, because, and a lot of people might think, you know, well, if we acknowledge your feelings every time, then they'll become this, you know, oversensitive, my feelings, this, but I do think it's nurturing them. Yeah, there's a fine line, though, isn't there? Like, don't you feel like a lot of people think they don't want to baby them, so to speak?
Well, we can only give so much as well, right?
You
want to give as much as you can to your children, and you want them to be independent, so you're right. It is knowing each child. They're each individual. They're all different, and playing from your parenting perspective on that. So, you know, we work with what we have. We do our best.
Yes, yes. And I have to say, I love that you included, like, she has a dog, you know, Aunt B, and you really included Aunt B in the whole story as well, both of them.
Right. So she's also learning empathy. She's learning to think of what Aunt B needs. Let's do something for Aunt B, something kind for her, and take her to the park. And then that teaches her empathy, which is also relates to perspective.
Actually, yes, you're right. Oh, can you expand on that, actually? Yes. How does, empathy relates to perspective?
Children, I believe, 2 to 3, start to learn that we're each going through something different, and that's perspective. And then they learn to start to care about what other people are feeling, either their pets or their parents or siblings. And that is empathy and perspective, looking at things from someone else's point of view. That's empathy.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I like that. I like putting that together. My mom was so wonderful at doing this. She used to actually talk for our cats, like always give them a voice and say, oh, you know, he's thinking this and wanting that, or, oh, you know. And I really enjoyed that connection, because it does deepen, the connection. It deepens an understanding. And that's what you had mentioned just before, too, is the more we understand, not just from how we're feeling and thinking, but where another being, you know, little fuzzy wuzzy, or, you know, a human is coming from, it shifts where what we might want to offer in that situation, whether compassion or, you know, selfishness, anything really, you know, what it's offering.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So now I want to go into a buck and a puck. And I thought, you know, how Canadian too. We have our nice little ice rink and a nice cold. But now what's the lesson behind that?
Kindness, choosing to be kind, shows how strong we are on the inside. And the animal symbolism is a deer, a male, a buck, not a dollar buck, a buck deer. And they're graceful, yet they are very strong. So their kindness is their strength. And that's the message Lulu's learning, along with sportsmanship and having fun and persevering.
Yes. I thought that was really prominent to me, you know, when I was reading that, and I was really feeling this, and I thought, a buck, you know, I've got to see them along the ways as traveling and driving as well. Mm-hmm. And you're right, they are so majestic, strong, big, like, whoa, scary big, you know, at first, like, intimidating, but so graceful and gentle and kind, it seems. I don't know if they're kind, but, you know, it seems they would be kind. And then just share how that might look for someone who's in a moment where they could choose. What kind of situation might a child be in a situation where they could choose kindness, and that shows their strength?
Sure. Well, children get frustrated dealing with other children, dealing with their parents, their siblings, and, you know, even in a game that they're playing, or accidentally bumping into someone, and their reaction might be, ow, that hurt, and want to lash out. But and in that moment of, you know, that breath, that moment of awareness, if we choose to be kind, we might realize it was a misunderstanding or a mistake. And then when you choose to be kind, you uplift yourself and the other person. I was reading, actually, today that research actually shows that an act of kindness increases your levels of serotonin in your brain, and the levels of serotonin are increased in both the giver and receiver of the act of kindness, as well as anyone who witnesses the act of kindness. So it's really a wonderful antidepressant and a good lesson for all of us.
Yes, I love that you said witness acts of kindness too, because maybe you mentioned yourself you were going through a time where you were, what I was hearing was in pain and just really down, suicidal, as you said, and which I'm assuming you would be isolated. And sometimes we don't have the opportunity to be kind to someone or allow kindness from another, but simply by witnessing, I mean, I watch the cute animals videos all the time on Facebook, so I my heart is glowing by the time I finish watching all these awesome little things, right? Or you're laughing. But is
they do. They really do.
Yes, and so in children, I mean, they just innately feel, like they're not full of a whole bunch of junk yet, you know. They're fresh and really operating from a clean slate.
Epitomize unconditional love, animals and children, and there's an honesty in their connection.
Yes.
And that's what I think we gravitate towards. It's just so pure.
Yeah,
they're great teachers.
It's so interesting that they are, in fact, like what you said, they're just the pure, and they are the teachers, and yet, you know, we get to be adults, and we're like, okay, well, now it's my job. I've got to teach them everything and show them how to, like, and it's such a partnership along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The one thing is specifically in A Buck and a Puck that I was just so happy that I don't know what to share or what not to share, because I don't want to give away the punchline, you know, like the whole concept, but there's one part that I do want to say, and I won't say which game it was, but as Lulu eventually, you know, scores somewhere along the line something, but she didn't do it out of my part of what I love that you shared was she didn't have success out of what is it called? Like, not revenge. The success wasn't coming from this competitive in a bad way. Like, I'm going to make you lose, or a negative way.
Right. Retaliatory.
Yes. It didn't even come from, I'm going to prove, I don't know, like such a negative story. It came from such do you think that when we do something, we get to choose what our driving force is, what our motivation factor is?
I do, and I think if we set the right intention, it unfolds in a positive way, I would hope. I mean, my kids played sports, so there's always something. I mean, losing is not fun, but have games in every game or every practice or injury. They've had some injuries, and you learn from it, and you persevere, and if you find the positive.
Since your children have played sports, you would know this. Did it come a time where they came to you and just said, I'm not having fun, like I'm losing, or I'm not good at this, or I don't want to do it anymore? How should we, is that a time where you want to help change their perspective on it, or just honor that and say, okay, this isn't for you?
So my oldest, she had a knee injury, and that was, you just had to accept it. This isn't for you. You know what? You can find yoga or something gentler to do with your body. She was doing soccer and cheerleading, which is very hard physically.
Yeah.
So, and she was doing track as well. She could no longer run with her knee injury. So it was a direction, and we just, you know, you're not going to be depressed about it. I didn't like seeing her suffer, but you find another outlet. With the middle child, he, every year when it came time to sign up for hockey, it was, we're going to sign up for hockey. Do you want to? Because if you sign up, you're committed. You can't quit on your team. And not that he would have, but that was the conversation, so that he knew. Your team's relying on you. You're part of this greater, you know, force. It's not just about you. It's about everybody.
Right.
Right. And we went from there. So then as long as he was healthy, he went and he enjoyed himself very much. And he learned commitment. He learned organization. He learned perseverance. He learned so much from being on a team and being committed to the team. So it was, you know, if something happened, like an injury or a reason, if it conflicted with school, that always took precedence. But it was, yeah, we always encouraged them to honor their commitment.
Right. And I think there's the biggest perspective and also the being gentler, because sometimes we think, gosh, I just don't want to do it anyway. I remember back when I was really little, I was in the church choir and it really just came like, I did not want to go. I did not want to be there. And it was a tough one because I'm, you know, I was a child and I'm trying to express that to my right. parents, but they're not seeing any, they're just thinking, oh, she just doesn't want to do it anymore. But it's finding that gentle way of honoring yourself and those around you, and if anybody's right. relying on you to do that. We've got 1 minute before going to commercial. I'm going to squeeze this in here, and I'll ask your opinion so that we come back, get you to answer this. My sister, oh, she's going to hate me. when we were growing up, she hated playing any kind of board game or card game because she just wasn't great with numbers or this. She always lost is what it is. And she was like, you know, I'm just tired of losing. I just don't want. And even if she was a bad winner too, because if she ever did win, she'd just rub it in your face. But she really struggled with, I'm a failure if I lose this one little game. Like her perspective was very small. So I would love to ask for you to, if you're, when we come back from commercial, if somebody has a child and they're dealing with them, they're just like, they get so angry and so upset about losing or being made fun of or just not feeling good. How do we handle that? So that's my question for when we come back, guys.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
For those times when you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
You're back here with myself, Lisa Berry, and my lovely guest, Jennifer Ranieris, award-winning children's author. And before we went to commercial break, I was asking Jennifer, how maybe there's an animal symbolism story here. I don't know. But how can we help children who really struggle with self-image and confidence and courage and really worry about failing and being judged, that it keeps them from participating in group activities, teams, playing games? What can we help? We help them.
I feel like that is resonates your question, because it's so easy to let fear keep us down, keep us from trying or stepping out of our comfort zone. And I love that the schools encourage, you know, the kids to give speeches and to do different activities that where they are forced out of their comfort zones. I would say there is always something positive in every loss and every disappointment. And if we can focus on the reason why we're doing the things we're doing, 1 year Costa's hockey team lost every game, and they lost most of them by like 10-0. They did not do well at all. So we really focused on, you're having fun with your friends, your skating's improving, and we focused on the little gains, like, you know, you guys managed to stop the best player this time from scoring his, you know, hat trick or whatever. So there's always small, you know, if you focus on the fun, the reason why you're doing it and what we're actually learning and gaining. I have to admit, I'm not always the most gracious loser. I'm learning to, you know, trying to teach by example, learning from the positivity of my children. So.
Yes. That is it's so tricky. I actually make it I think I've made it a practice so much that it does come more naturally to me. So anytime anything, especially when somebody else does something bad, it's so easy for me to point out something, like, you know, if my guy drops a glass and it breaks, I'm like, oh, I needed to vacuum anyways, and here's the motivation. Now I, you know, for safety reasons, this needs to be done. So it's kind of, and you're like, ah, no, don't worry. So I think it's really helpful to start having that switch of perspective, just like Hawkeyes. Mm-hmm. We need to have our Hawkeyes, you know, and then with a buck and a puck is to really find, I really, you know what, I got to use, I'm trying to think of the scenario that happened yesterday, but it was really when I was frustrated and I was about to, you know, lash out or judge or get angry. And I went, whoa, I've got more strength in this inside. I'm going to come from gentleness here, you know? And although I didn't want to at first, when I did come from gentleness, mm-hmm. I went, oh my gosh, you know, what was really cool about it was I didn't get all upset and thing. Cause it, yeah. You're right. It's we get the benefit too. It's not, yeah. Yes, yeah. That was so, I was like, oh, look at that Jennifer already sneaking into my world with her books, you know. Now, I would love other people to sneak into your world with these books, and you are doing, you have quite a few events lined up. Can you, just looking at some of them now, share with us, and I think there's two that I want to specifically mention that people can, if they're in your area, they can come visit you and see you or check you out online. What is the one that's coming up really soon? You've got one.
There's one on November 30th is in Buffalo at the Audubon Library, and we're having Sabretooth come for an appearance. We're going to do a story time and activity, and the proceeds from the event will go to benefit the Oshai Children's Hospital. And then the next day is in Smithville in the Niagara region in Ontario, and I'm sponsoring a family skate, and we're going to have Bruiser from the Hamilton Bulldogs come and make an appearance. And then afterwards, we'll do a story time and activity, and the proceeds from that event will go to benefit community care in West Lincoln. And then there is one more library event in December in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. So the Buffalo area, the Niagara region area, we've got both sides there. Okay. And that's a good question. Sorry, I'm thinking of the question. You don't know the question yet. This is the good question. The good question is mascots. Choose animals as our mascot. You're really making me think about this now. Why do we do that? Why animals?
I have no idea. I don't know. They're fun, I guess.
They are fun.
I have no idea, Lisa. I'm going to ask them that now.
Yes, there's an activity. Yeah, because if we think of, like, you know, I know in our lives, like, we might think some of us have, you know, our spirit animals or totem animals or just our favorite animal. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, when you think about a team, it's which characteristics of an animal, you know, it's the speed, it's the agility, it's the, I don't know, like the hawk, like, you know, the perspective view. And I wonder if that would be a fun activity to get children to always think, like, what would be your mascot? What would be, you know?
Oh, that's a great activity.
Now that's my strength. Oh, good. You know, that is my strength. So I it sounds kind of silly, but it's for me, it's actually the benefit for me as well. I have these two bangles, and it's so important to not just pet them and be with them. Like, I really have to stimulate them and be creative. So when they were super, especially when they were young, I created so many cat games. I think I should be hired to create, like, people need to sell these things, you know, and and it was helpful for me because it kept me creative. It kept me full of, you know, empathy and thinking about them and their perspective. And it kept me out of my own life causing trouble is what it did. But do you have plans for, I guess this is a series that you're building, Nature Nurtures Storytime Series. Do you have plans for your next books?
Yes, yeah. It's written. It needs a little bit of fine tuning, and I want to get it moving on it in the new year. It's going to be called My Fine Feathers. And the animal, the symbolic animal is a scarlet macaw, which is a parrot. And the message is embracing our everyday uniqueness that shines from within, that of ourselves and of other people as well. So it's about self-love and loving everyone else's unique quality.
Yes, yes. I love that you said embracing the uniqueness. Yes. I'm just writing that down actually because I love that. And it's so, you know, when we were little, like, my sister's a couple years apart, and her being ahead just enough, you know, all the kids are a little bit ahead. So, you know, I hadn't grown into that yet, right? And I remember, you know, witnessing teasing or people being picked on, and it really broke my heart because I was still in that everybody's awesome place world and everybody's perfect and fun and littleness. And the uniqueness growing up in the school that I was in was actually not really embraced. It was made fun of.
No.
And so
kids naturally, they're learning. I do believe, they're learning to be more empathetic towards one another.
Yes. And a lesson I find is, I've adopted it, and I'm really trying to be the leader around this, is that I really do embrace cooperation versus competition. But it's not to say that I don't believe in playing a good game of hockey too. You know, I watch football every Sunday. Well, I try to. I missed yesterday's. But when you're looking at that, do you find that we can still have that cooperation exuding from us when we're in competition?
I do. Like sports, if you're talking about sports directly, brings people together. So, you know, that alone, everyone's there to have a good time, hopefully. And I do believe working together. Look at the Olympics, all the countries coming together.
Yes.
People do want to excel, but in the end, it's for a bigger purpose, peace and, you know, working together. And I do believe that cooperation.
You just actually used the most perfect example, the Olympics, and perfect words. Mm-hmm. We are, a lot of people in the Olympics, they're for individual, you know, excelling individually, but you're right, there's countries that are competing against other countries, and yes, we are being brought together by these games, and they're called that, the Olympic Games. Like, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And no one ever, I mean, even us talking today, we've done nothing, really, I don't believe, besides breathing on our own, because we're using electricity, we're using satellites, you know, I wrote a book that had to be printed, and there's so many other aspects to just existing each day, having heat and electricity, and you can go on and on cooperation on things that have to come together to create a moment, so... Definitely in sports, I can see lots of cooperation in the web of it coming together.
Yes, yes. And I love that we share that you are on a farm. There's so much that goes on, you know, in the animal world, too. That do you find that the animals, just even on a farm, they express the similar lessons, like from you when a animal, baby animal is born and as it gets raised? Do you feel that, can you see that in the parenting of it from the animals?
Well, most of the livestock we had was like for, you know, corporate farming.
Oh, right, yes.
Eggs, and then there was like a hog finishing barn. So it wasn't, they weren't pets so much. But we did have a couple of ponies, and we had baby goats born one year on Christmas Day. So that was really special. So yeah, you see the nurturing and the parenting of even animals that, you know, you don't give the same credit to as ourselves, but definitely.
Right.
Yeah. It's very peaceful on the farm.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not sure how, you know, what the percentage is for children's authors and doing this and having these wonderful positive messages in the books, but where would you like to see the series going?
I really don't know, Lisa. My intention was to translate a moment that I could translate an aha moment that I had into something children could relate to. So now that I've done that, I believe I've done it. That's my feedback that I've received says I'm doing that. So I don't really know. I want to share it with as many people as I can, and we'll see. Step out of my comfort zone a little more and see where that takes me. I'm just going with the flow now, seeing what unfolds.
Do you feel, I hope this isn't too personal, ask on air, but I'm going to go for it. Has your health improved, your mental health, your physical health?
Yes.
From
I feel
writing the
so
books?
Incredible.
Oh. Yeah,
from the books have helped. They've definitely, flexing that creative muscle is a gift. Like I suggest anyone, even if you're just going to write about the light flickering off the wall or so, it's so you can write whatever you want. It's very freeing. So yes, I feel incredible, and I'm just so excited to keep growing and learning, and yeah, my life is just absolutely blissful. It's magic. It's unfolding like magic, just like did I use the word magic in the story? Oh no, just like nature.
Yeah, no, yes, well, in your, on your, yes, I quoted you actually on the magic. I'm going to find that because yes, you said nature is proof that magic surrounds us.
Yes, that is in the bio. And I think in the story, I at the beginning of Hawkeyes, I say, the sun is up, it's a new day, I wonder what magic is coming our way.
Yes.
And that's how I look at every day. It's just, yeah, I love
wonder.
It.
I love that
life
word, wonder. And this is a special time because we're in November here. We're coming up to Christmas. I would love to point it to everybody that I know I love receiving books as presents. So if anybody is thinking of a gift, a Christmas gift, whether it's to even somebody you don't know, perhaps you're buying some books to gift to the children who are in the hospital or who are in situations where they may not be getting a gift or something, like a book is such an awesome gift, and especially with creativity like you have and imagination and playfulness. So I'm encouraging everybody to get online and order your books, and whether it be Hawk Eyes or A Buck and a Puck, and this is by, you're going to see the her name come up as JLW, but if you're going to look her up on, actually, your website, what's your website address?
JLWauthor.com.
Okay. JLWauthor.com. Everybody can go check Jennifer out and see these beautiful illustrations and colorful things. And also, too, we're inviting everybody to come to Buffalo on November 30th or the very next day to go to Niagara. And we'll put all those details up, but that's on your website as well, I believe, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Or at Facebook. We love Facebook.
Yes, I'm on Facebook, too.
Yes, that's the best way. It's Jennifer Lynn, everybody. So Jennifer and then Lynn, LYNN. And I love that because that was my mom's first name, and that's how it's spelled. So, but I want to thank you so much, first of all, sending me these books. I'm having a magical time reading them, and they're reminding me of the basics. And I think that's the lesson that all of our children really love and connect with. So I want to say thank you for
thank
the books.
You.
And thank you for being on air and on Light on Living. And is there anything else that you would like to close off with sharing with everybody?
No, I just really appreciate this time with you, Lisa. And I love that we've connected and met through social media. It's been a gift. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jonathan, for doing that. All right, everybody. I've just really enjoyed talking about, you know, memories and those happy things and asking and being able to ask. I'm going to call you my expert right now here, expert on childhood lessons. And as we reflect on them when we're older and going back and just really being mindful and reminding ourselves and everybody.